Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we're going to have so much fun because we're going to go back to my roots and talk about something that I am absolutely passionate about, and that's marketing. And it's one of those things that people think either A, they don't need, B, they're an expert in, or C, they're going, what the heck am I supposed to do? So please join me in welcoming Erin Foltz to our program today. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you so much, Deb. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great, great. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will dive into this. So today's guest, Erin Foltz, is a strategist, coach, implementer, and the founder of Acorn Studio, a business coaching and marketing consultancy. Erin passionately believes that healthy, sustainable small businesses can change the world. She helps business owners figure out the next right step to move their business forward and implement simple frameworks that maximize revenue and productivity. As a Story Brand certified guide and a Business Made Simple certified coach, Erin draws on her background in photography, design, and entrepreneurship to help business owners confidently grow a business they love. So again, Erin, welcome.
Thank you so much, Deb. So excited to have this conversation with you today.
Great, great. I love it. Now, your bio, it excluded something that I found when I was reading other things about how you have all these kids that always come over and play and your house is nonstop and all of these various things. And I love that you are able to mix all of that into who you are. So tell us a little bit more about who you are. You know, how did you get to where you are today and discover that this is your passion in life?
Yeah. So that's funny. Kids are a big part of my world. I have three children, my husband and I, and they're all still school aged at home, still very much need mom. And so my entrepreneurial journey really has in some ways mirrored the season of life that I've been in with children. And it's one of the blessings and also challenges of running a business is you can structure it around your life and structure it to fit and work. And so on the kid piece of things, that's where it has really come in. But so my background, Deb, is I started a photography studio back in 2008. I had always loved art. I studied art in college. Every parent's dream, right? Send their child to a private liberal arts school and pay for an art degree. But bless
and
my parents.
And they're going, and you're doing what with this?
Right, exactly, exactly. But bless my wonderful mom and dad. They are so supportive in that. And really, so after I graduated, after I, you know, started working and so forth, I continued to do photography work on the side, and people began just the classic. They ask you, you know, hey, will you take pictures of my kids, et cetera. And very quickly that sort of snowballed into me going, I should probably make this into something official. Like I should probably make this into a legitimate business. And I did and grew that. But what really surprised me early in that journey is that I actually fell in love with business. Here I had this visual art background and was turning it into a business, and photography just became this tool for me to be in business. And so in that process, really began studying business. I have what I like to call a street MBA. I've learned it the hard way and learned it by living it, but went out and got what I needed to education-wise to figure out how do I grow and run this business successfully. Mm-hmm. And so part of that process led me to being introduced to the Story Brand framework, mm-hmm. which I think you mentioned. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But and introduced me to the Story Brand framework is a marketing framework to really help you develop a really clear brand message and a marketing plan to grow your business. And so I was introduced to that and it really light bulbs went off for me. This was several years ago and began implementing that framework into my own business. And at the time I was also on the photography side, had begun working with a lot of local small businesses mostly on their visuals, their, custom photography for social and websites and things like that. And in that process, realized pretty quickly that the visual aspect that my current business at that business at the time had provided was this tiny piece of a much larger puzzle of what they needed in terms of their marketing help. And so as I was implementing this new messaging framework and plan into my own business and seeing great results, I began sharing it with my clients and saying, hey, let me help you implement this. And so that was really the road that got me to today, which is I don't do any photography anymore and only do marketing brand message development and marketing consulting and work for my clients. But kind of like many entrepreneurs, that never a straight line, kind of a winding road along the way that has evolved and pivoted and really, really love the work I do, getting to help and grow small businesses, because I do. Well, you said this in the intro, but I think that they really can have such a massive impact on our communities and on our world. So,
And we're always going to need some of the big box type of things, but, I love small businesses and, try and support them as much as possible. And it's funny, we were talking, in the chat before the program started, that the definition of small business is just so skewed, because technically I think it's 95% of all businesses in the US are considered a small business. Well, you can't tell me that somebody operating out of their spare bedroom is the same as a multi-million dollar business. I mean, there's just so many differences. And so it is the people out of their bedroom, they might have a small office space, things like that. They're the people that need the help the most. And so many times what I see is they, as I was saying at the start, they either think they don't need it, they know everything because they read one article on it, right? Or, they're just so mixed up that they don't know what to do. And they're trying to run their business. They're trying to sell their widget. They're trying to do those various things. And marketing is an afterthought if they even think about it. They might think, gee, I need a website. I might need a Facebook business page. What the heck is TikTok? All those things. But the biggest thing is they never sit down and think, I need a consistent message. And, so how do you work with people for that on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I love that you make the distinction of kind of the three camps that people can fall in as it relates to their perception of marketing. And you're right. So many people start businesses, and this is true of thinking through kind of the catalog of people I've worked with. I cannot think of a single client that I've worked with that this has not been true of, but they start a business because they have a widget or a skill set service they're trying to bring to the world. Right. And when they start it, they go, I have a passion about, providing the service or this thing that I'm selling. Becoming a marketing expert was not on the list of whys to start a business, but it's necessary, especially if they're going to be sustainable long-term, right? And so when I'm working with clients, the first thing we want to find out, and because like you said, small business is such a huge range. The definition can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But first, it's starting going, what's the business you're trying to build?
Okay.
Because your marketing strategy, there's foundational marketing strategy. There's sort of the key things that every business that's going to have a solid marketing plan, you're going to have some key things. You need a clear message. You need a website. You know, a website's not an option anymore, right? In our day and age.
Especially when you can easily do a one page thing. You know, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So all of those are like kind of the given you have to have, but depending on the kind of business you're trying to build that's going to inform your marketing strategy. What's the plan you have in place? Mm-hmm. So if you're a solopreneur or very small team that has zero, desire to scale and grow, you know, a large company, well, your marketing plan is going to look really different because you only need so many customers, clients to come on the door, right? Versus somebody who's selling, and that's often service-based businesses typically fall in that category. But if you're selling widgets online that scales and you're going, hey, how many, I need to sell as many of these as possible. Well, that marketing strategy is going to look a lot different, right? And so the first place I always start is going, okay, what's the business you're building? What are your goals? Where are you today? And what are we trying to get to? And now let's map the plot, you know, plot the points to get from current reality to future vision of where they want to go. So that's always step one. Because I see a lot of businesses make the mistake of going, well, this marketing guru said I should do this, and I'm supposed to be on this social platform, and I'm supposed to do this. And it's like,
or you want me to think about where I'm going to be in 2 years? I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 weeks.
right. Yeah. Yeah. How dare you? No. So getting clear on, that's a step that a lot of businesses skip, unfortunately, and go after shiny object syndrome, just doing the next thing that that they see out there with zero rhyme or reason, or it does not fit into an overall plan or strategy. And when that happens, you're spinning your wheels and wasting time, money.
I mean, that's
exactly. That's it. Exactly. So that's always step one. Step two is developing a really clear marketing message.
Okay.
What is it? What are the words you're using? Like on your website, in your social media, on your sales calls, in emails, in ads, what's the underlying message that you have? And is it consistent? Is it clear? Is it making it really clear what it is you do and how you can make your customer or clients' lives better? And so we develop that. And really, that's where I mentioned earlier, story brand, but that is a messaging framework that I use. It's sort of this secret sauce behind the work that I do. That's a framework I walk clients through to develop a clear brand message. What that framework is it uses story, which our brains as humans were designed to respond to.
We like stories.
We love stories. And we automatically pay attention when a story starts, right? And so as brands, as companies in our marketing, we can either talk at people, we can say how great our product or service is, or we can invite people into a story. And it's not a story about your business. It's not a story about why you're so fantastic or great. It's actually a story about your client, about your customer, and saying, hey, I know what it is that you want. Like, I see this thing you're trying to get, this problem you're trying to solve. I see the problem you're up against, like why you're having a hard time getting it. And I can help. And we play this role of a guide that comes alongside our customers or clients to help them overcome the problem. Whatever our company is designed to solve, that problem we're designed to solve for, we can have a clear message that helps them overcome that problem. And then from there, you know, showing, making it really, really easy for customers to do business with us. That's a huge thing. And then having a really clear call to action. So they're taking the next step we want them to take to move forward in doing business with us. So step one and step two is always, what's the business you're building? Let's develop a marketing plan to help you reach your specific growth goals. And then let's get your story straight. Let's get the words right to make sure you're attracting the right people. And then from there, we begin applying it to website first, almost always, and then all of their other marketing collateral.
Right. Yeah. You know, and probably one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is their story changes depending on who they're talking to. And it's because they want to solve every problem, because let's be honest, if they can solve every problem, they can make that money. You know, yep. You know, I don't ever want to turn somebody away. And so, you know, say it's, you know, a landscaper. And, you know, and somebody says, hey, can you build a fountain? Sure, I can do a fountain. We've done fountains before. You know, can you do this? Sure, we've done that. We can, you know, and they're just, you know, they want to please so much that they never stop to think that's not what we enjoy, you know, because heaven forbid you do that. Or worse, we're not even quite sure how to do that, but we're going to tell them we can because we don't want to lose that business.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Deb. There's actually two things I hear you saying in mm-hmm. that. And one is your business model, your plan. Mm-hmm. What are the product service?
There's
offerings?
No model.
Right. What are the products and services that you're offering? Mm-hmm. Are you choosing products and services mm-hmm. that are profitable, that are in demand, mm-hmm. that you can deliver on? Mm-hmm. And if you're changing what that delivery is with mm-hmm. every single client, it's going to mm-hmm. be very hard to have systems and processes right. that scale well. Mm-hmm. So you just have to go in with your eyes wide open mm-hmm. and either choose that if you truly are going to be a completely custom solution mm-hmm. for everything that you mm-hmm. do. That's
part of your messaging. We are a custom,
right?
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's an option. Mm-hmm. But from a business model perspective, there are inherent limitations mm-hmm. that come with that. From a messaging perspective, mm-hmm. though, you go, okay, you need to be known for solving a specific problem. Mm-hmm. You might solve 45 problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, most businesses do.
Right.
Most companies solve more than one problem. Mm-hmm. But from a marketing message perspective, you want to be known really clearly for solving one problem. Mm-hmm. Now, it can be a high level umbrella sort of problem mm-hmm. that encompasses everything else. So mm-hmm. I love your landscape architect mm-hmm. Example. Mm-hmm. I actually worked with a landscape architect, so this is perfect. I can give mm-hmm. give you an example. But the message that we ended up landing on mm-hmm. for him, because he can solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Every job is custom that right. he does, mm-hmm. right? You go into somebody's home, you figure out what they want.
Right.
Every mm-hmm. job's totally custom. Mm-hmm. But the overall message is, let's transform your outdoor space into a place where your family makes a lifetime of memories.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So mm-hmm. Is an overall message mm-hmm. that is solving a problem for somebody. Mm-hmm. What I love about his particular message where we land is it really taps into an aspirational identity. Mm-hmm. This is where great marketing message, if you are tapping into a deeper identity mm-hmm. want for what your customers mm-hmm. want, not just the, hey, we know you want to fix your yard problem, mm-hmm. But we know you want, like, you want to make great memories
right.
with your family. Mm-hmm. You want to be the mm-hmm. home that facilitates that. Mm-hmm. When you can tap into that deeper kind of identity message, then your marketing message gets mm-hmm. a lot more powerful mm-hmm. as well as clear. And so you're right. Being known for a specific problem mm-hmm. Is key. And then once you get somebody in the door working with you, then you can kind of open the back door and go, oh, but we actually solve
all these. Oh, and by the way.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. But it is tempting to go, I don't want money to walk out the door. Oh, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. And we can do that. And our message becomes watered down mm-hmm. because
right.
it's not focused and mm-hmm. clear.
Right. Well, and then it makes it hard, if not impossible, for other people to refer to you, you know, because somebody yes. might say, hey, you know, I need a plumber that can do this. And you're like, well, I know a great plumber, but he did that for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, all these various things, you know, it's, we want people to be able to say, I know a plumber who did a great job for me. Give him a call,
yeah.
you know, and so it's, and of course, word of mouth is one of the best marketing aspects that there are. And, you know, and I always have people who say, well, but how can I control word of mouth, because it's, you know, just two people talking. Well, if you've been clear in what you're providing them with the messaging, then they know what to say when somebody asks them.
Bingo. That is it. Exactly. So marketing is an exercise in memorization. Mm-hmm. And so when we as brands and companies are really clear mm-hmm. and consistent, that's mm-hmm. the other piece, clear and consistent right. in our message, mm-hmm. it might feel like we are a broken record mm-hmm. saying the same thing mm-hmm. over and over and over again. Right. But it can take 7 and 8 times studies mm-hmm. show before somebody ever actually hears mm-hmm. and remembers what you've said mm-hmm. When it comes to a marketing message. Mm-hmm. So if every touch point we have with potential customers, we are communicating a different mm-hmm. message, they're never going to remember mm-hmm. what the message is. But if we're clear and we're very consistent mm-hmm. in that, not only does it help on the first interaction you have mm-hmm. with a customer, it helps internally with your mm-hmm. team. Everybody on your team is communicating the same message. So no matter who somebody has an interaction with on your team, they're getting a consistent message. And you do begin to control mm-hmm. what referrals people mm-hmm. say, because you've given them the words to mm-hmm. say. And right. you've said it so many times, so consistently, that it's really clear in their mm-hmm. brain exactly what mm-hmm. problem you solve and what you do. And that's where clear messaging mm-hmm. and where referrals become very, very mm-hmm. powerful right. is when right. you compare it with giving them the words to say. Mm-hmm. So when they do talk about you, mm-hmm. They're communicating the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's when things
Aaron has some type of marketing firm.
right. Not helpful. Mm-hmm. But if you're not sure how to talk about what you offer in a clear way, mm-hmm. oh, Erin can help you with that. Mm-hmm. She can give you the words to stay in yep. your marketing. Mm-hmm. Now it's gotten clear. Mm-hmm. Think of it even, and forgive the dated metaphor, I use it all the time, but we want customers, clients to be able to put your business on a really specific card in the Rolodex of their brain. Mm-hmm. Like Rolodex is dated metaphor.
We know what they still are.
Category. Yeah. What category do you fit mm-hmm. in? So people mm-hmm. do, you know, they can recall you at the right time. Right. Yeah. And messaging does that.
That is knowing who your market is. And I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share it again. I was at a networking event, and you go around, you tell your 30-second spiel, and this woman represented a skincare product line. Mm-hmm. And so when we said, who is a good client for you, she smiled sweetly and said, everyone, because everybody has skin.
Everybody has skin.
That meant that if somebody, we could not refer to her because it just confused us. And so we worked with her and got it down to a really fine niche. And mm-hmm. and so her message was, I work with 16-year-old boys who have acne. Right then, every single person always knows a 16-year-old boy. Now, they might know a 16-year-old girl who has acne, so, it's probably going to work for them, or, things like that, or acne might trigger in their mind somebody to refer to. But, then we all could think of somebody to refer to her. And it's funny because there's a skincare product line now that's been advertising, and it is back to saying, because everyone has skin. And I thought, you don't know. Even if you're the consumer, it's like, well, can you solve my problem?
Right.
I don't know. And more importantly, I'm going to go to the person who does say they can solve my problem.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It gets watered down. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's this misconception that if I do get too specific, mm-hmm. that I'm going to lose out. I'm going to lose out mm-hmm. on business. But the reality is if you are really specific in the problem that you solve mm-hmm. and really clear about it, mm-hmm. yes, people are more likely to refer you mm-hmm. because they know the 16-year-old boy, in mm-hmm. your example. And it doesn't preclude people that are kind of on the fringes of that.
A 40-year-old woman who has acne is going to go, you know what? I can probably talk to them.
Exactly. I bet they can help me. Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. I have yet to be in a business that when they got really precise and clear in their messaging, things went badly, or they started losing mm-hmm. business almost immediately. Right. There was an uptick because mm-hmm. they were really clear. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Unless they somehow picked the wrong thing. And I have seen that happen where people went, okay, the money is there. So that's mm-hmm. who I'm going to market to, but they couldn't fulfill that need. They were a mid-level type of company, and that was where they needed to be. They were not a high-end provider. But again, that's back to being clear about your messaging. Who do I want to serve? And it's not everyone. I don't care what product or service you have. It is not everyone.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, and there's different ways that you can categorize the people that you do want to serve, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's the classic, demographic sort mm-hmm. of, stage. So like mm-hmm. for my business, I work with businesses that are in kind of specific state, one of a couple of specific mm-hmm. stages of their business.
Right.
And so it's not industry specific. It mm-hmm. could be industry specific, mm-hmm. but it's more about the stage mm-hmm. of business that they're in. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of ways that you can slice and dice and get clear about, mm-hmm. okay, who am I targeting? The key is that you get clear and, mm-hmm. and you go, who am I for, but mm-hmm. who am I not for, mm-hmm. Is just as powerful.
Right. And, it's nice if that's not something you do, that you can refer to somebody else. I was talking to somebody one time, and they are a marketing firm that specializes in working with dental offices. Now mm-hmm. that's pretty gosh darn specific. Yeah. And they stuck to it. It wasn't, okay, so you're a chiropractor, so I'm going to work with you. And, they were only work with dentists, and they were busy all the time. I mean, it was mm-hmm. just one of those things, but because they attended industry conferences, I mean, they got yeah. to be known as the marketing firm to go to, but they also had a list. And so they could say, Mr. Chiropractor, Dr. Chiropractor, we're not who you can work with, but we can recommend boop, 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 and give them several other companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's, there is always enough business to go around. Mm-hmm. Like I firmly believe there mm-hmm. is yeah. always enough business mm-hmm. to go around. And so, it serves your business mm-hmm. and it serves the client better mm-hmm. if there's a good fit
right.
There. And so if there's not, to have somebody mm-hmm. that you can refer out to, mm-hmm. I do that with my business all the time. Mm-hmm. People come in and I go, we're not quite the right mm-hmm. fit, but I know who is, and mm-hmm. I'll happily right. make the referral
right.
Because your success depends on it mm-hmm. just as much as my success right. does. And when we have that view, I think mm-hmm. everybody wins in that scenario.
And it is hard, especially when times get tough. You think, I have to take any business that comes in the door. But, let's be honest, there are times where you do. You have to think, sure. okay, I got a mortgage I got to pay. So yep. I'm going to have to do this. But, you're not going to be happy. You're probably not going to give 100%. They're not going to be happy because they knew they didn't get 100%. So if at all possible, pass it on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a great distinction to make in this conversation, Deb, is that some of what we're talking about, it mm-hmm. depends on the stage of business that you're in.
Right.
If you're in the early days mm-hmm. or you're trying to still kind of figure out that mm-hmm. product market mm-hmm. fit and see where you land, it does make sense mm-hmm. to take on a lot of different.
Right. Because that helps you to decide, this is what I want to do.
That's right. And so that is part of the process. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you have enough data points and enough experience mm-hmm. to go, I'm really clear on who I want to work with. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really clear on who I don't want to work with. And you can begin narrowing mm-hmm. the focus. But it doesn't often happen from day one. Mm-hmm. It could, but especially in service businesses, mm-hmm. I find, unless you're just really clear on an industry you want to serve. Mm-hmm. And that usually happens because people have had experience in that industry. There are reasons for that progression mm-hmm. into a really specific industry typically. But otherwise, there is a kind of a trial period to figure out who mm-hmm. is it that you want to serve. But once you get it figured out mm-hmm. and you have, commit to something, not that you won't make small pivots right. along the mm-hmm. way, but commit and move mm-hmm. forward, and you'll see traction faster mm-hmm. that way.
Right. And things change. I mean, it's still in a pandemic. And, I think restaurants would probably be one of the best examples of an industry that absolutely had to make some major pivots. When people could no longer go in, or only half of your tables could be full, you had to decide, okay, are we going to do delivery? There's a place by us that built a drive-through window. Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that 2 years ago, they would have never considered. But also what they did was they took their 30-page menu and made it like five. And it was, you know, some of those are hard choices, but you need to sit down and think, okay, everybody, you know, we get one order for this once a week. Mm-hmm. Let's not offer it, you know, or if somebody asks for it, okay, we can do that, but take it off the menu, what's going to be the things that save time? What can we do the most quickly? You know, is this flambé something or lobster flambé or something? Yeah. That's like a 2 hour long creation. Okay. That's not going to happen for a while. And, you know, and so that was, I think that's why a lot of times we saw it. We also saw that with, you know, people who were used to going and seeing their clients and being in the same office with them. Okay. Yeah. We're going to pivot and, you know, we're all going to hate that word in a couple more years. Right.
Yeah.
But we can work remotely. We can work online. You know, our employees can do that. You know, all of these various things. And it really has made some major shifts and it's been, you know, yes, there's been some obvious downsides, but it has been fun to watch the companies that went, this is something we can do, you know, and to really watch them do that. So have you worked with some companies that went, hey, okay, we need to change and we need to change now?
Yeah. So I actually worked with a company that is an event-based company.
When you can't have events and you're an event company.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Things need to pivot. And so we worked together to pivot their messaging and their offering. They had already, before they came to me, started to, they've already pivoted their offering to online, but we're left going, okay, what are we building now that in-person is not an option, and I think what's been interesting, like you were saying in this, is seeing people pivot. It's not so much that the deliverable or the service is completely different. It's just how they're providing has looked different. Right. And so, I think there's some great things that have come out of all of this where people are going, we may not go back. Like we never would have considered doing this before this way, but we don't see ourselves going back either to kind of the old way. Mm-hmm. There is this new hybrid normal of sorts. And so, you know, different business, you know, depending on your product service offering, that's going to look different. You know, with the restaurants, even as you said, I don't know about you, but there's ones around here that even where I live, everything's pretty well opened back up and all of that. And did kind of fairly early in, but there are restaurants still that don't have dining rooms open. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that's a employee issue. Like there's multiple layers.
They just don't have the staff to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But I think we'll continue to see in restaurants like the, or industries like the restaurant industry, these innovations and marked changes in how the industry does business, you know, moving forward and in ways that we had not before. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I love you said, Deb, you were giving the restaurant example, but it just made me think of one of the things that we have to do as businesses, and this relates to our marketing and our messaging, but even our processes, we have to make it easy for people to do business with us. Mm. We have to make it really easy for people to understand the product or service that we offer and how we can help. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I love the restaurant example and even the paring down their menu. Oh my goodness, a 30-page menu. Like I would think I would just walk out the door.
That's one of those when you go in, you're like, I can't choose.
Right, right.
I hand the menu to my husband and say, same thing that you had every single time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing. Or I hand it to my husband and say, you know what I like. Can you just pick? I can't make another decision today. But I think to your point there is, we do, I see this in the service industry service-based businesses a lot, but we make it too hard for people to do business with us. Right. We're not really clear about the parameters of an offering. So even using your menu example, it would be like going to a restaurant and they say, oh, we serve protein. And you're like,
yeah, protein?
I don't want protein, but I do want a hamburger, you know, like, so getting clear about how we package our services and what it in communicating that clearly mm-hmm. in our messaging, mm-hmm. That's where I see people just be more confusing than mm-hmm. necessary and making it hard. And it makes it hard for people to want to do business with you because you could solve their problem. You're just not communicating how you can solve their problem in a way that they go, I want that. Mm-hmm. And that they want to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. When we're looking at the menu of what somebody provides I don't care what it is. I mean, I have to be able to go to somebody's website and find a services tab or, mm-hmm. Somewhere I need to see what the heck is it that, yeah. that they provide, because yeah. I'm going to get a little bit of that. Well, first of all, I should have an idea before I even go there. But then I want to know specifically, okay, do they do this? Can they help me with this? A roofer. Can they provide emergency service? Do they only do, can they do my two-story house? Do they do residential? I mean, all of these various things, I need to find those. And maybe it's not a menu, but it's in the description. It's in that messaging where I can look at it and go, oh, okay. One of my favorites are realtors. It's like, okay, there's residential and there's commercial. And then there's, of course, lots of things that fall in between. Mm-hmm. And I always, it's like, okay, if I'm looking for a residential realtor, I don't want to get lost on somebody's website that only does commercial, right. And so provide that information to make it easy. It comes back to the KISS principle, keep it simple.
Yep.
I hate to say stupid. Just keep it simple. And, I think sometimes we think, but we're not telling enough.
Right. Right.
Well, you get them sucked in and then you can fill in the details. That's I shouldn't right. say sucked in. You get them interested.
Well, There you go. You pique curiosity yes. and you get them mm-hmm. interested to mm-hmm. learn more. That's right. Yeah. I love that you mentioned websites because mm-hmm. any website, you should be able to, every website you land on. Mm-hmm. So if somebody lands on your company website, mm-hmm. before they ever start scrolling, mm-hmm. Your website should answer three questions for them. What do you do? It should mm-hmm. be very clear, the product mm-hmm. or service you offer, how you can make their life mm-hmm. better, some sort of benefit language mm-hmm. that paints a picture mm-hmm. of why they should care about the mm-hmm. product or service you offer. And then how do they get it? What mm-hmm. is the one next thing they need to do? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're selling widgets online, it's buy now. Mm-hmm. If it's, you're a service-based business, it might be request a call or schedule an appointment. But there needs to be real clarity in mm-hmm. what's the one next thing they need mm-hmm. to do. And are they really clear on what mm-hmm. you offer? You're right that we often put too much information mm-hmm. out there and people are confused and mm-hmm. they're not going to wade through it.
And we have the attention span of a gnat, right?
Exactly. We do. And so the way that we need to think about any of our messaging, mm-hmm. We're talking websites right now. So every section of your website, every line of your website, the purpose of that line should be to get people to the next line mm-hmm. or the next section right. mm-hmm. of the site, right? Same is true of email. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of the subject line? Just to get people to open mm-hmm. the email is all you're trying to mm-hmm. do.
Right.
And then every line is to try to get people mm-hmm. to the next thing. And so we often, I think in marketing, we're going, we need to get all the information out there. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of dump everything on mm-hmm. people. And they're going, I'm so confused. I don't have the bandwidth mm-hmm. to wade through all of this. And they're out.
They, right. They go to your competitor who makes it easy.
That's right. The person who makes it the simplest to mm-hmm. understand. This is a classic Donald Miller quote. He's a guy who wrote the book, Building a Story Brand, the framework mm-hmm. I use for messaging. But the quote is, people don't buy the best products or services. They buy the ones that they understand the mm-hmm. fastest.
Right.
So it's all about communicating mm-hmm. clearly and quickly what you offer and how you can make mm-hmm. your customers' lives better, because those are the businesses mm-hmm. that will win every day of the week, mm-hmm. Even if their product services is inferior to yours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we're busy people. And, yep. So I want to go in, I want to find the information. I want to know yes or no. Can you do what I am looking for? The second I'm going, maybe, then I am going to something else. I mean, very rarely am I going to take the time to read more, you know, and that's mm-hmm. going to be more if it's like, okay, I know this person, I know this business, so I am going to delve a little bit deeper. But for the most part, I'm like, nope, gone. You know, and, yep. And, you know, I tell people it's like that with your LinkedIn profiles. You know, if I'm reading the very start and I don't know what you do, or you did things like, you know, your headline says founder of XYZ company, I don't care. Right. You know, I want to know what you do, you know, and, yeah. and so, but yeah, it is, it's to get their interest and then you can fill in the details. You know, if you're only, you know, a landscaper that builds fountains, then that's what I want to know. You know, yeah. I don't want to talk to you if I have a tree that has to come down.
Right. Right. Yeah. Being really, really clear mm-hmm. about what you offer. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Exactly. Right. Well, and two, honoring marketing, we need to honor the natural stages of a relationship mm-hmm. in that. And so it starts with just piquing curiosity. How mm-hmm. can you present what you offer, mm-hmm. the product or service, in such a way that it's positioned to solve a problem? And mm-hmm. somebody goes, oh, I like, their ears perk up and go, I have that problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm curious. Let me hear more right. about how mm-hmm. you can solve it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so first, it's just to pique curiosity mm-hmm. and then move people into a stage of enlightenment or the mm-hmm. learn more, get to know and really understand more mm-hmm. about you and your business. And then from there, moving them into a commitment phase mm-hmm. of whether it's a micro commitment, mm-hmm. just giving you their email address to mm-hmm. get on your email list because you've given them something of value, or it could be the, you know, they're now buying and mm-hmm. money's exchanging hands. But our marketing should honor those stages in mm-hmm. any piece of marketing material, whether it's an email, whether it's our website, whether it's a social media post. We should know what part of the three stages mm-hmm. we're in. Are we trying to just pique curiosity mm-hmm. with this? Are we trying to move somebody who knows a bit about us mm-hmm. from curiosity into enlightenment so they're learning more mm-hmm. so we can then move them on to commitment? Mm-hmm. Where are we in the three stages mm-hmm. with any piece of marketing collateral or content right. we're putting out there? And what's the purpose mm-hmm. of that particular piece of content mm-hmm. Is very helpful to know because mm-hmm. it helps you stay within the lanes, like mm-hmm. stay within the why of that particular mm-hmm. piece of content.
Right. You know, and that's where telling the story really is so critical, because I read it and I go, oh, that's me. You know, mm-hmm. And so talk to us more about how stories and in particular story brand, how that mm-hmm. really is such a critical piece in this. It's not just, I can do this, this, and this. Call me now.
Yeah. 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 So story brand is just a messaging framework. It was mm-hmm. developed by a guy named Donald Miller. And mm-hmm. The book Building a Story Brand is a fantastic, you know, jumping off mm-hmm. point if you want to learn more about the framework. Mm-hmm. But the framework consists of seven parts. And it's okay. basically the seven parts, is seven questions your marketing message needs mm-hmm. to answer for mm-hmm. your clients. But what it's doing is if you answer those seven questions mm-hmm. or kind of seven parts of the framework, mm-hmm. you're developing a story is what you're doing. So mm-hmm. you start with your customer. Who mm-hmm. are they? And what is it that they want as mm-hmm. it relates to your product or service? You're defining that. They are the hero of your story. Mm-hmm. Your customer is. Then you're saying, so you're communicating, hey, I see that you want a yard that you can make great memories with your family. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to do that, you need a landscape architect mm-hmm. that can design you know, something that you love. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem that's getting in the way of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is, you know, it's an overwhelming process. Mm-hmm. You don't know where to start.
I don't know how to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you communicate and define the problem that you know that your customer is up against in getting the great yard that they want in this example, they go, oh, they understand me. Mm-hmm. Like they see me, mm-hmm. they see the problem that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, problems, it's overwhelming. It's complicated. It makes you feel overwhelmed, anxious. You're maybe afraid you're going to make a mm-hmm. bad choice. You know, mm-hmm. you're speaking to these sort of internal feelings that people have. there. And then you go, hey, but I've helped other people. You're positioning your brand, your company as the guide that comes along in the story to get the hero, your customer, help them win the day. And you're saying, I can help you with this. I've helped other people do that. You show empathy. You go, I get this. You don't want to make like that. You're probably going to do a big renovation on your yard once in your life. Like you don't want.
It's a lot of money.
That's right. I get it. You're showing empathy toward your customer. And then you want to show competency, authority. I can help you. You know, I've done this for other people. I can help you do this, you know, accomplish this. And then the guide in the story. So this is, you know, kind of walking through this framework a bit. The guide in every story, and if you think about movies, even they always say, you know, here's the plan. Here, here's how we're going to get you, help you get the thing you want. And so we need to do that as businesses. We need to say, here's step one, step two, step three, what it looks like to move forward in doing business together. So it makes our customers feel like, oh, I can do that. It's easy. They don't feel like they're moving into a fog, and they go, I can walk through those steps to get a yard and that I absolutely love. And then we want to call people to action, call our customers to action. And then we want to paint a picture of success. Like, hey, if we work together, this is what your life can look like. Imagine the memories you're going to make with your family around your new pool. Imagine the hours your grandkids are going to spend, you know, out at your home, and avoid failure, you know? So you don't have to go find a place to host family gatherings that's actually enjoyable. They can actually come to your yard. So, you know, something like that. But that's just a really high level overview of the seven questions. What does your customer want? What's the problem they're up against to keeping them from getting it? How can you guide them to getting what they want? What's the plan you're going to take them through to get there? What's the thing that you're going to, you know, what calls them to action to move forward in doing business with you? And then what's the success that you can help them achieve and the failure you can help them avoid? If your marketing message encompasses those seven pieces, you've actually developed a story and that you're inviting your customers into that they can picture themselves in. They can picture themselves in their backyard with a, you know, with a with a pool and an outdoor space they love and can host their family in, versus a landscape architect in this example who just says, yeah, I can build a deck in your backyard.
Yeah, or I can put I can do that.
Like it doesn't differentiate him from anybody else. Versus the company that can paint a picture and invite the customer into a story and help them see themselves. Because really, what we're any of us are doing with our businesses, on some level, this may sound a little lofty, but on some level, we are inviting our customers into a transformation of some kind. Even if you're a landscape architect, even if you're a plumber, you know, like you're inviting your customer into a transformation of some kind. And if we can communicate what that is using kind of a story framework, you know, to do that in our messaging, it really becomes powerful. It becomes memorable. And we tap into a deeper, deeper desire that our customers have. Because people, we actually buy, solutions to internal problems, even though it's an external problem that, that we may be solving for. It's the internal problem that we're really buying the solution for when we are choosing products or services. And so when we can communicate that in our marketing, we'll win as company.
So. You know, and it can be simple. I mean, you mentioned a plumber. So maybe your messaging and your image is a dripping faucet, a clock that says 2 a.m. Right? That drip, drip, drip at 2 a.m. I'm like, fix it.
You know?
I don't need to know much more besides you can come at 2 in the morning. You know, and things like that. It's funny. While we were sitting here talking, I Googled best product stories. And the one that came up, you know, there are lots of different things, but you know, so this one, it's an image of a bottle of beer. So it's Corona. And so it's got the lime there. And all it says, and it's so it's the wording is hit the ground sitting, find your beach. And so it's the bottle of beer and a beach. Do you need to know much more than that?
Not if you're Corona and people know what you offer.
Now, if I'm not a Corona fan or a beach fan, but yeah, so they're not talking to me. So again, right. You know, they went, okay, here is, you know, we want to appeal to Corona lovers who want to go sit on the beach. Now, is that going to happen tonight? No, but I still know that Corona is a great beer. Right. So it caught my attention.
Yeah. I think the thing to distinguish in that, Deb, is that Corona is a very well-known mm-hmm. brand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you are a small business listening mm-hmm. to this, you cannot use the same tactics that Corona uses mm-hmm. because you are not, don't
But you
have
could be the plumber with the dripping faucet.
You could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to be careful with small business, especially mm-hmm. to go, we can get inspiration from large brands.
We can copy that.
Right. But we can't. Yeah. But we have to be careful because when you're not known, mm-hmm. you always want to err on the mm-hmm. side of very, very clear. Let right. me explicitly mm-hmm. tell you what I offer. Mm-hmm. So there's no guesswork involved. Right. But with the plumber, you're right. I actually have mm-hmm. a HVAC plumbing company mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is a client of mine. And one of their angle on their messaging mm-hmm. is it is about it's hassle-free service. Mm-hmm. And really their message is like, hey, having your plumbing go wrong with your plumbing or with your mm-hmm. with your air conditioning, like that's bad enough. You mm-hmm. should not have to deal with issues like a headache with your service right. provider. Mm-hmm. Like they should not be mm-hmm. adding to your problem. Mm-hmm. Well, does that speak to the internal problem we feel if we're having to contract mm-hmm. and get those services? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because right. I would imagine everybody listening has had some sort of experience where you're mm-hmm. dealing with a home service provider. You're trying to fix this problem that you mm-hmm. have. You're like, the toilet needs to flush. Like mm-hmm. this is right. not an option. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in the South. If mm-hmm. if it's July and at my house and,
and your AC is not working,
mm-hmm. we have problems. Like mm-hmm. this is an emergency. Mm-hmm. The last thing I need is a service provider who doesn't show up on time. Mm-hmm. The people leave a giant mess at my house. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they don't fix the problem the first time mm-hmm. and it becomes this, you know, what started as a small problem mm-hmm. got to a bigger problem. Like we've all had that experience, mm-hmm. right? On some mm-hmm. level. So as a brand, as a company and their marketing, when they're speaking that in their marketing, people go, oh, they get it. Like mm-hmm. they know I can't deal with right. another problem. Mm-hmm. I have a problem I'm dealing mm-hmm. with already. I just need you to solve mm-hmm. it. Don't add right. more to my plate.
Right.
And the empathy in that from their marketing message perspective really speaks mm-hmm. to the customer. And so those are the kinds of things we need to be looking mm-hmm. for in our marketing message is, even if it's very obvious what you do, you fix plumbing problems, mm-hmm. you fix, you know, air conditioning problems. How can you tap into the mm-hmm. deeper kind of internal feeling mm-hmm. problem that your customer is after and speak to that
right.
with a lot of empathy? Mm-hmm. You will stand out in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, it has to match what you actually do. I mean, you know, if your That's plumbing right. ad is showing 2 a.m. and somebody calls at 2 a.m. and they get nothing, or they get voicemail, right. or sure. or you know, they might get the guy answering the phone saying, "I'm sorry, it's 2 a.m. I'll talk to you 9." You know, yeah. it's you need to match what you're saying. You know, and so yeah, if you're a 24-hour service, then say right. you're a 24-hour service. You know, and it's also not, and we've seen this all the time too, the bait and switch. You know, okay, yeah, right. we'll come at 2 a.m, but it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
You know, I love the people that say, you know, hey, we'll come at 2 a.m, and it's the same price as 2 p.m. Okay, sure. you got yep. my attention. Absolutely. You know, and so always make sure that messaging actually does really match what you do.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, that is the power of using story in your messaging is that it really mm-hmm. works well.
Right.
There's with great power is great responsibility.
Yes, great responsibility.
Right? so, you know, marketing gets a bad rap often because mm-hmm. people go, oh, it's sleazy and, you mm-hmm. know, slimy. And,
it's the
you know,
used car salesman.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But when done well mm-hmm. and done with integrity, like mm-hmm. that's not even a question when mm-hmm. I'm working with clients is we're not going to communicate a message mm-hmm. that is not integrous mm-hmm. with what you actually right. offer and mm-hmm. deliver, like not even an option. Mm-hmm. So with that said, as a foundational assumption that that's mm-hmm. what's happening, then yes, mm-hmm. using story in your mm-hmm. marketing, it really will draw people in mm-hmm. in a way that that other options don't. And right. to do it well means you're making your customer the hero of the mm-hmm. story, and your positioning as a guide. Mm-hmm. That's a classic in the kind of the story brand mm-hmm. framework world that I live in. That is such a critical distinction mm-hmm. because another mistake I see businesses make all the time is they always lead with, here's how great we are. Here's how, right. how yes. fantastic
we
our
have service
is.
500 yeah. clients, yeah. you know, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, that, or they lead with like their company history, which mm-hmm. nobody cares. Like your
I know.
Clients don't care about that. Mm-hmm. All they care about is how you can help mm-hmm. them. So if you're talking about, you know, who started the company or how long you've been around mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. Even if you're, and this is interesting, mission-driven companies, mm-hmm. That's fantastic. There are mm-hmm. so many good things mm-hmm. happening with mission-driven companies. Mm-hmm. And if your mission takes precedence over actually communicating the problem you solve for your customer, mm-hmm. the mission's getting in the way of mm-hmm. reaching the customer. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be careful of that as mm-hmm. well, is that if you go too hard on the mission mm-hmm. and the why, it is important. Like, don't right. hear me mm-hmm. say that it's not important, because mm-hmm. it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. But it has to be balanced well with mm-hmm. really clearly communicating right. how you're helping your customer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've made it too much about mm-hmm. yourself and, right. and the mission, and not about the people mm-hmm. that you're right. actually trying yeah. to reach. I mean,
food would be another good example of that, where you know, you're saying that you locally source, that it's antibiotic free, mm-hmm. all those things. And those are great, because there are definitely people who are looking for that. But I want to know, can I get a good burger?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then if it's from locally sourced antibiotic-free beef, that's better. Right. You know, but I want to know that first thing. Can I get a good burger? No? Okay. You know, and then I right. go on.
That's right. That's right.
Well, oh my gosh, Erin. This is why I set a timer, because we could go on like this forever. Because to me, it's just such a fascinating subject. And more importantly, I think it's something that needs to be discussed, because people mm-hmm. struggle with this all the time. So, you know, if somebody is struggling, or not even struggling, if they're just thinking, I'm ready to go to that next level, mm. tell us about how they reach you and connect you, and then the services that you provide.
Sure. So the best place to find me, my website is theacornteam.com. And if mm-hmm. you go to theacornteam.com/businesspowerhour, I will put some resources for cool. your listeners there that they can grab. And so I would love for them to grab those. Just like a marketing a checklist of what needs to be included on your mm-hmm. website, mm-hmm. How to get started in developing a really clear brand message, some questions you can be asking. I'll have that there.
Okay.
So that's the best place to find mm-hmm. me. I'm LinkedIn, Instagram, Erin Foltz. Foltz mm-hmm. is with an S on the end.
I know it's not a Z. I kept mistyping it.
yeah. Foltz with an S on the end. I would love to, I always start with just hopping on a call mm-hmm. with potential clients who go, hey, I need help with my marketing. Mm-hmm. I know I need to up level. Mm-hmm. I know my message is not as clear mm-hmm. as I want it to be. I'm not really operating out of a plan. I'm just mm-hmm. kind of marketing by the seat of my pants. We'll hop on a call, mm-hmm. Talk through what's working, what isn't. And I can make some recommendations on next steps, mm-hmm. And see if it would be a good fit to work together. I do one-on-one done for you work. Mm-hmm. And I also, do some coaching through like the Story Brand live stream workshops happen mm-hmm. several times a year. There's one coming up in September 20th and 21st, mm-hmm. you know, if you happen to be listening before that, but coaching a small group of folks through that. So several mm-hmm. ways we can work together, and would love to connect with anybody who goes, I did not get in business to become a marketing expert. Really need some help. I can help.
And I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we didn't, you know, most people, even those of us that are in marketing, you know, mm-hmm. we don't want to be that expert. You know, I want to sell mm-hmm. my widgets. I want to do, you know, provide a great service. But how do I do it? And that's the key is that is, you know, that is when you need that marketing message. And, you know, and, you know, there's frequently you need to reach out and ask for help. I mean, you know, we see it happen every once in a while, but yeah, most of the time people have worked with others, and that's where it's great to have a resource like yours. And so again, it's theacornteam.com, you know, and Erin Foltz with an S. So, you know, this has been absolutely fascinating, and I've been having so much fun. Are there any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yeah, I would just say, remember that clear messaging with your marketing will win every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And marketing is an exercise in memorization. So if you're not clear on the message you want mm-hmm. your customers to be memorizing, do some work. Go get the Building a Story Brand book by Donald Miller. Mm-hmm. If you want to start there, give me a call, find me on social. And it's work that is foundational work that people mm-hmm. skip often, but the people who don't skip it, the companies mm-hmm. that don't skip it, really see a massive difference in the growth and success of their business.
Perfect. I love it. And we want everybody's business to grow. You know, that's right. That's the key is even if you're happy with where you are, you still want it to grow. And so that's the key. Well, I have been having an absolutely delightful time talking with Erin Foltz of the Acorn team. Until I am Deb Creer, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.